Hello and welcome to this very special crossover episode between the Audio Drama Production Podcast and Podcraft, the How to Podcast show created by thepodcasthost.com. So I'm joined by the podcast hosts Colin Gray on this episode.
Indeed, and the podcast hosts Matthew McLean
That's
as well.
That's right, remember? Yeah, I'm head of...
You belong to the company as well.
Exactly, yeah, I'm head of audio production here at the podcast host towers. So this is a bit of an off-the-cuff episode. We only decided to do this about an hour ago. And one of the reasons behind it is actually the fact that we put the audio drama production podcast out on a weekly basis. We have done so since the summer of 2014, and last Friday, just like a couple hours before Robert and I got together to record, my computer completely died. It's something that had been on the cards for quite a long time.
Yeah, and dead Mac.
It totally went, you know, it had to go into the shop, and it meant that the podcast has to take a short hiatus. So the audio drama production podcast, for Podcraft listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the show, it's all in the title really, isn't it? It's about making audio
drama.
You've
got a well-made title, the way we recommend you do it, which is that the title tells you what it does in the tin.
Yeah. So it got me thinking, you know, probably a week without, in fact, it's about 2 weeks since we got an episode out. And the funny thing is that here at the podcast host, we on a daily basis are working with clients and helping them with our podcasts. And I've actually had a couple of weeks now thinking about our own show and how I've not really sat down and had a good think about the content that we're putting out for a while. So this has been a good opportunity. And I had some ideas that I wanted to bounce off you, Colin.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you know, I think the idea was to, well, you kind of want to workshop what your redesign of the show might be, don't you? And that's something we do with clients a lot at the podcast host. It's something we talk about on Podcraft as well. Like, there's no reason why you've got a show. You started it like 2 years ago, say. You didn't really know much about podcasting at the time, maybe. This isn't talking about you. This is the general you. I mean, a person doesn't really know about it really when they start. So a relaunch can be a really good idea to, so, you know, look, go back and think about what your aims are, how you're doing the podcast, ask for feedback from listeners and stuff like that as well, and really redesign how you do your show so that it fits into your current lifestyle and the way that your work is, your life is, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be really interesting to, you know, especially the Podcraft listeners who've maybe launched a show a while ago, and they might be in the same boat. They've just been ploughing along, putting out episodes without really stopping sometimes to reevaluate things from a wee distance.
Think about how you do it. Yeah, definitely.
So I suppose my first thought, and I should say to the audio drama production podcast listeners, the podcast definitely isn't getting wound up or anything like that.
And you're not canning it.
I still really want to keep the, you know, a weekly show. Robert and I, we usually record in a car. That's just the recording setup.
Salubrious studio of the audio production podcast.
But it's more a content thing. Yeah. And Colin, you're a big advocate of podcasting and seasons.
Yes.
It's something that we didn't really think about when we started the show. And I'm increasingly concerned that when new listeners find us now, I mean, 1 week we could be talking about writing, 1 week we could be talking about some aspect of production. There's all sorts of different things that we'll cover, and there's not really, you know, it's a mixed bag. Anything could pop up from week to week.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, I'm trying to Snapchat at the same time. If anyone doesn't know, we're doing
Colin
a lot of
young
Snapchat.
Young and trendy.
Doing a lot of Snapchatting from the podcast host offices, just giving a wee behind the scenes. So I'm trying to show folk recording a podcast. So there's a live noises. Apologies for the noise. Very unprofessional. Yeah, no, seasons, I mean, yeah, we talk about that a lot. It's just, it's one of the ideal ways to make it more sustainable, isn't it? And actually make it more useful for your listeners, because you actually start talking about topics which tie into certain things that they're thinking about, certain problems they have. And so you can give them these resources they can always refer back to. I think it's a way to make much more evergreen content that's just more navigable, more findable, searchable for your listeners.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast is doing a lot better than I'd initially ever hoped it would. The website gets a lot of traffic. We've got a lot of content on there. We've got a ever-growing list of episodes. We get lots of emails, lots of feedback, got a great active community on Facebook. Lots of contributions from other producers who send us stuff on the show, which is brilliant. So it keeps it, you know, it's a great variety of voices and opinions, and I think that's really important. But I'm just conscious that we aren't really going in any one direction. Like I say, we've got this mixed bag of content, and I'm just wondering if there's a better way to go about that in the near future. For new listeners who find the show, they've got a lot of stuff to plow through, and there's no order to it.
So. Yeah, totally. And I think there's no... Some people balk at the idea of going back and repeating some concepts. So no doubt you have covered, say, story. So you do audio drama. No doubt you've covered the topic of creating a story from scratch, like how you come up with a story if you're audio drama. So you're bound to have covered that topic in the past, but I think there's no harm at all in actually going back and doing that topic again over, say, 5 to 10 episodes. Like, you think about character generation and then story arcs and then, you know, all the other things that go into actually creating a story. You could go back, even in some of these episodes, you can refer back to the other episodes as well, where you may go into more detail, but you treat it as a course, essentially. You're now creating a 10-episode course around how to create a story for audio drama. And again, yeah, that gives them, it gives them a way to navigate through that material, the new set of material particularly, but even to link them back to the old stuff too, I think.
I think one of the, because I did have a good think about this in the car this morning, and one of the reservations I've got, the last time we surveyed the audience, and admittedly the audience was a lot smaller back then, it would be maybe about a year ago now, but it was kind of like 50-50 split between producers who either hadn't produced anything before or had just started. So that was like one half of the audience. The other half of the audience mainly had been writing and producing audio longer than Robert and I.
Okay,
so, you know, they're more experienced than us. But I think a lot of them still liked the show because we were getting quality interviews and we're still provoking some discussion, if nothing else. Yeah. So if we go into, you know, just catering for somebody who's starting out, which is great, are we then going to... almost exclude the more experienced guys?
I think it depends on how you define your season. So say you go in there and you say this is a beginner season, and it's around creating a story. The thing is, you can cover a topic in a way that actually caters to all sorts of skill levels. So if you go around creating a story, you're going to have an episode which talks about story arcs, talks about character generation, all that kind of stuff. But you'll talk about, over half an hour, say, you'll talk about how you start out with it. But then by the end of that episode, you're going to be talking about the advanced level stuff. So you can cover a really niche little topic in a lot of detail. And you're doing it in a really organized way. So even those people that are quite experienced, they'll know some of this stuff. But if you're into a topic, you love hearing about it. You love, even if it's stuff you know already, there's always little tidbits. There's ways that you do it, especially in a creative process like that. So in something like creating drama, scripting, that kind of thing, it's totally creative, isn't it? Everyone's got their own approaches. And that's probably why even people that might be 10 years more experienced than you are interested to hear how you do it, to tie it into their process.
Yeah, I think that's true. When you listen to a podcast on a subject that you're passionate about, and especially in a creative field, even if the conversation isn't teaching you anything new, it can sometimes just get your brain working subconsciously, and you do start coming up with ideas, don't you?
Yeah, and when it's something, like I say, when it's someone you love, you like learning, you read stuff about things that you enjoy, that you're passionate about, even if it's just telling you what you already know, it's just what you enjoy finding out more about, isn't it?
So I suppose, like, if we were, and, you know, I'm going to ask the listeners about this because I'm not just going to bash on and make a decision without consulting anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we moved into more structured episodes that had, like, a beginning, a middle and an end, and then move on to the next, what are kind of the next steps, in your opinion, for maybe planning out a season or two? How do you go about that traditionally?
So you treat it like you're a teacher. Just think about the fact that, say, you're going to teach this to a class. If somebody was going to come along to an actual workshop in this, how would you order out the subjects? Like, what is the first thing somebody needs to know? Taking a story, the story creation idea again. What is the first thing that somebody would sit down and do when they're blank slate, new audio drama, first day, they're like, right, what do we do in the first? What would you say as the first step?
Coming up with the idea, I suppose. Or you mean the first practical step after you've made a conscious decision to
make a new series of your... Yeah, to make a new audio drama. What's the first step?
It's, I think, coming up with a story, really. Mm-hmm.
So sitting in a room with your co-creators or yourself and just brainstorming stuff.
Yeah, and I mean that... There's a good case there for talking about how you come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's an episode that I'm really keen to do, and that might be ideal because it's perfect. A really good starting point.
Yeah, yeah.
Is talking about, I want to go into depth on this, but the fact that people like to go out for walks. I'm actually reading a book at the moment called The Philosophy of Walking, and it's all about just how you get out there and you know, just get the blood pumping, and it's amazing how good that is for your brain. Also a lot about how we're all often got our noses stuck in our phones nowadays. Just the creative process of coming up with ideas, but then moving into, okay, you've come up with a really good idea, now what's the next step?
Yeah, yeah. So that's first step. So that's your first episode. If you genuinely think that's the first thing that anyone will do in creating the story for their audio drama, that's a great idea. Yeah, having an episode on how to generate ideas, because that's bound to be a question you get a lot. Like, how do you come up with ideas for a new show?
Funnily enough, it's not really.
Oh, really? Okay. So everyone's totally creative. They've always got ideas brimming out of their head.
I think, you know, anyone that gets in touch with us is usually, I don't know if the whole left brain, right brain thing, I don't know if that was disproven in science, but it's always very creative people. They've got a lot of good ideas. They're just, often it's the audio production that holds people back. A lot of really great writers out there, but they've just never really got into audio. So.
Okay, well, there's maybe a case for not doing the story creation one in the first place. Maybe it is something around technical stuff. Maybe it's an editing. I mean, that's when you start to get into a wee bit of difficulty in that maybe is a more visual subject. Maybe you need a lot of video tutorials, but you can definitely cover that type of stuff in audio and then link off to other material that supports it as well, can't you? So I think that's where you would start, isn't it? Like, whenever we talk to people about doing seasons, it's usually they've got to the stage where they're like you. They've got 100 odd episodes out there. They're kind of getting a bit jaded about doing it every single week. They're lacking in ideas a little bit because they've covered a lot of stuff in the past. So the thing that I would always tell people, you tell them as well, don't you, that go away, take a month, email your listeners, do a last episode that says to your listeners, right, we're coming up with a new season, we're going to take 1 month off, please do email us, tweet us, social us in any way to tell us what you want to hear, what's the biggest struggle you're having right now in audio drama, and we're going to cover that on the next season, and we're going to plan it out for you. So it's really listener led, it's really customer led type of thing. You're finding out what they want and then giving them it.
I'm wondering as well if just an idea that came to me there, it's worth getting a sample of people, maybe 4 or 5 people who are starting out right at the start, wanting to create dramas and try and tailor something towards them, because that will essentially be the journey that everyone is following. It's that a lot of people are already on that path.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll catch up with them eventually. If they're still quite new to it, you'll overtake them in your content.
Yeah. So you mean find somebody that's currently planning a new drama and actually make them a case study?
Yeah.
Like, follow them as they go along, make a wee documentary of how they do it.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. There are, you know, I'm getting a lot of emails and tweets now of all these new shows popping up, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm just struggling for time to actually listen to them.
Keep up with them, yeah.
But it's great to see. I mean, I did an article for the podcasthost.com recently saying that 2016 was going to be the year of the fiction podcast. I do stand by that. I think we're going to see this huge wave of people creating new shows, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would be very hard to find some people who are right at the start of their journey.
I mean, give them some extra exposure and some help from you. I mean, you're going to give them some support in that, aren't you? So I think that works really well. I mean, that's in teaching, the ideal is if you can actually get your student to do something, so they're learning through experience. You're getting them to give them a task. You're teaching them a little bit, just enough to get started, and then you're actually giving them the task so that they learn it through doing it. Maybe I think second best to that is a case study whereby you see them somebody else doing it. So you can, yeah, if you can do that, I mean, that's better than you and Robert just talking about it, just discussing how to do it. If you can show the process of it, some real person, so they can identify with this person at the same stage as them, then that's brilliant.
What about season breaks? Because one thing I am conscious of, and I never want to really take extended breaks between any seasons if we decide to go down that route.
Yeah.
But I'm quite conscious that in July, all being well, we're going to be doing a lot of, you know, 90% of the recording for Valenhigh, which is our fantasy audio drama that we're currently creating.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that, you know, the time I have is divided up, because we need to make a really good job of this. It needs to be brilliant. So I don't want to just be paying lip service to this podcast and putting out a couple episodes just for the sake of it. So it might make sense in the summer to have a good few weeks off to concentrate on that.
Yeah, plan your season break in there, yeah.
So what's an ideal length in your experience for like a season break?
I've myself, for my own shows, I've done it as little as a month. So just say 4 weeks off, plan it in then. And other ones I've taken 3 or 4 months off. And actually I was talking to Paul Boag yesterday, who runs the Boag World podcast. He does seasons as well. And he took 6 months off once. And he was quite clear about it was a hiatus. The balance, I think, is maybe 1 or 2 months is a good period. And beyond that, going beyond a couple of months, people start to drop off. Paul said that after 6 months, for example, his audience halved when he came back, and it took him a fair while to get back up. So taking that big of a break, that's a big chunk of time. And I don't think many people need that long, but even a month or 2 months on the outside, that's plenty enough time to just have a wee refresh, plan something new, and build a bit of hype around the re-release.
Yeah, and also it's not like we'll be taking time off, because when we're doing Valenhigh, I want to be recording a lot of extra content for this podcast, because all the stuff we're doing is going to be really valuable, I think, to people who want to do a similar project. Yeah. It's all new to me. I'm quite scared about it, but that's a good thing, I think. Yeah. Because I don't want to stay in my comfort zone. So there's a lot of stuff here, booking studios, getting people in, working with actors. This is totally new to me. I've only done this on a very small scale.
Yeah.
It is keeping me up at night thinking about, you know, I want it to be great. And I know Steve and Robert are the same. At the moment, there's loads of logistics that we're looking into and things like that. But it's going to make for some great content. So it might be better to save that content up and not be trying to juggle too many balls at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I've found actually in the season breaks, quite often I'll end up doing a few interviews during that time, because that's the one disadvantage of doing seasons, is that you're kind of, it's restrictive. You know what you're doing. You've planned out your episodes. So you meet somebody serendipitously in the street who does podcasting and think, oh, you'd be a great story for the show. It's actually, you can't just fit that in any old place. So I tend to save up interviews that I've done during the season. I will just grab somebody in the street or a conference or whatever, interview them, and then I'll slip them in during the break. And it's easy, because you can just say, hey, we're on a season break, come back in February, whatever, when we're coming back. But here's a wee interlude for you, an in-between-isode, I think Tim Ferriss calls them. And you can make them nice and raw and unedited and all that kind of stuff, because you're excusing yourself that you're not doing the same as you always do. You're just giving them a wee bit of bonus content. So I think it can work quite well in making it easy. You don't have to do too much to it.
Yeah, I've always kind of struggled with the balance of interviews. We never intended the podcast to be an interview show. Yeah. But at the same time, we've done some brilliant interviews and we're getting all this knowledge that we didn't have ourselves. And that's where I've learned a lot as well.
Yeah.
Like I say, I've never wanted to do exclusively an interview show on there. But now and then I do like to have them.
Yeah, it's a good variety, if nothing else. And people want to hear from other voices every now and again.
Yeah. Another thought I had, and I don't think I'll go down this route, was to start playing audio dramas from up-and-coming producers, guys and girls who've just started out. But I don't really think that's necessary, because there's two great podcasts out there, Radio Drama Revival and the Sonic Society, who showcase all sorts of audio drama, and I think they do a great job. And I think it would just be unnecessary for us to also go down that route. So
I suppose there's a slight argument for just doing some teasers, like you're sort of, if you're taking 2 months off, say, you could do like a 10-minute teaser of the start of some new shows just going out on a weekly basis. But I think you're right. I don't think it's necessary, but it can keep people interested, I suppose. Keep the feed ticking along.
Yeah. So I'm going to put certainly a form of some sort up on the website show notes, because I want to get as much feedback as possible and make some decisions. Like I say, the show isn't going anywhere. Yeah, it's been, in a sense, a blessing to get this opportunity, to get a few weeks off and just actually have a proper think about the show without thinking, oh, we need to get another episode out.
Yeah, I think it's good that you're thinking about it that way as well, because a lot of people get to that stage and they're actually just like, oh, it's a relief, I'll take a bit of time off, and they never get back into it. But you're thinking about it, improving the show, changing the format, making it more listener focused, actually giving them what they want. So yeah, a lot of people just don't even consider the whole relaunch, redesign. They just think, do it the way it's always been done and don't change it. So yeah, good work.
It probably comes with a job. I mean, we do this on a daily basis. Aye. So it's something I'm always thinking about.
Yeah, but then again, it's easy to do things. It happens all the time, isn't it? The painter's house is unpainted. The, you know, the people that actually do the work, their own example of it is useless. That's, in a lot of cases,
it's very very relevant, because I've always, up until now, been a golf course greenkeeper. Mm. And a couple of years ago, a wee guy turned up at my door. The grass was higher than your knees. Yeah. And he said to me, do you want your grass cut for 20 quid? And I was like, I'm a greenkeeper. And he sort of looked at my grass and looked back at me. He must have thought, oh, not a very good one. So you're totally right. It's like, it's sometimes the most obvious thing, but you're the least likely person to be carrying out the work. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Podcraft is a good example of that, I think. With our clients, we get stuff out every single week, dead on time. We always have the calls to action in, show notes are always perfect. But Podcraft, because you're kind of fitting it in between and it's not paid for, quite often I'll mix up my calls to action, or, you know, I'll have to miss a week and stuff like that. And you can argue it's a bad example, but actually it's the way we fit it in, and it still tells people how to do podcasting, and we just do it the right way with our clients.
So what's my next steps, Colin, then? Get something up on the website?
I would say, do you have a mailing list just now for your listeners?
We do. We don't really push it, and I don't think, I think like the amount of people that are on there compared to the downloads we get is quite extremely
different. Well, you need to change that first in the next season. Get them on a mailing list so you can tell them, so you can help them, so you can send them more good stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so send out to them. They're probably the most engaged people, so you're most likely to get a response from them. Get out on your social media, obviously, Twitter, Facebook. And yeah, just record one episode, one little episode in here. You can do like a 10-minute, 5-minute even. This is the situation. We're taking 4 weeks off, but go to this link. Please, please let us know what you think, what you wanted to hear more of.
Cool. So yeah, be interested to get the feedback of the listener as well. So please get in touch with me on the usual channels, podcast, audio, drama, production.
Oh yeah, I'm saying record another one, but this is that episode, isn't it?
that was the purpose of this.
Sorry, I overrode your link there. What was that again?
podcast.audiodramaproduction.com. I really don't like checking emails on my phone, but now I'm being forced to because don't have a computer. So yeah, you'll get us there. You'll get us on Twitter at Yap Audio, and the website, of course, and the Facebook group and all those places. I just want some opinions. I want people.
How do you want them to get in touch? Come on, good practice, Matthew.
I'm sitting thinking.
Go right now, listeners, and do this one thing that Matthew's about to tell you.
Email us, please. podcast.audiodramaproduction.com.
Perfect.
That's because then Robert could see it as well.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the old Facebook direct message because I tend to read them on the go and forget about them, and then people think I've ignored them.
Perfect. And I'd love to hear from Podcraft listeners as well. If you're listening to this, if you found it interesting, sort of working through a redesign of a show, then if you have any tips for Matthew, if you've gone through this yourself, you've hit a kind of a down point in your podcasting, you've been struggling with what to do, we'd love to hear from you. Email Matthew again at, what was it, podcast at?
audiodramaproduction.com.
Perfect. Podcast at audiodramaproduction.com. Let him know what you think he should do, some tips, your experience, anything you can help with would be much appreciated. And of course, tweet us as well. My call to action. So that's for Matthew. My call to action is tweet us at the podcast host and on Twitter, and let me know if you thought this was interesting to go through, because it'd be cool to do more case studies like this around people who are either starting new shows, the sort of thought process around how you start a new show, whether they're doing redesigns, whether they're having crisis in their podcasting, that kind of stuff. Is this someone you want to hear more of? Let us know at the podcast host on Twitter. Oh, and Snapchat. Oh, see, I'm breaking my rules now. Two calls to action. We're also the podcast host on Snapchat too. I'm really enjoying sharing stories about the behind the scenes of the podcast host at the moment. For example, I just did a little video of us recording this show. So if you want to see what it's like in the podcast host office and a few silly personal things mixed in, although not too much, don't worry, then follow us on there. Just go into Snapchat and just put in the username, the podcast host. Love to see you on there.
Yeah, I'm on Bebo as well, if anyone wants to get me on there in the top 16. Give me some love. not on Bebo. Used to be, but not now.
I think I had a Bebo page when I was 17 or something. No, it didn't even exist then. Yeah, it didn't last long. But yes. Oh, well, this has been good fun. Good crossover episode. We'll have to do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely. So good to get something out, good to get some feedback, and thanks very much for indulging us and for listening.
Indeed. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you soon.